Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it's 3 o'clock.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. It is a Thirsty Thursday up here, Buffalo Wild Wings, New Caney, 59 and 99. If you're out there and you're near that that junction, is that a junction when two roads do like that? Is that called a junction?
I call it a junction. Now, I don't know if I'm right.
If you call it a junction, then I'm willing to bet you that most of the listeners understand what the hell I'm talking about.
Interchange.
There you go.
Something like that.
If you're near 59 and 99 right there, come on through now. Buffalo Wild Wings right here in the corner. It's a beautiful spot. They got some cold drinks for you. They got plenty of food, and we got a little Thirsty Thursday party going on. Ron, yeah, that's boy. Is that not music in my ears? I mean, is that
not
a
I'm not even a huge beer guy, but that sound, man, it'll make your mouth water.
Tyler, it's really soothing, right? Like when you hear that pop top.
If you're a human
that top
being,
pop.
Oh, let me get out. Let me. I'm talking over it, Tyler. Go ahead.
All right. You ready?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Just kind of relax a little
bit. It don't matter. Look, man, woman, it don't matter how. I mean, as long as you're legal drinking age. I'm sure even kiddos that like sodas or something, that turns them on a bit. That is a beautiful sound right there. Football Friday is tomorrow at Big City Wings and Humbles. So come on through and hang out there if you can't make it today. But Thirsty Thursday, big shout out to Bud Light for everything that they bring to the table, man. The Bud Light giveaways today are phenomenal as usual. One pair of tickets and tailgate passes for Texans Colts game coming up in a couple weeks. A Bud Light cornhole set, a pair of U of H Utah tickets, a pair of U of H K State tickets, and two $25 Visa gift cards. I'm going to give something away in this next segment. So if you're in the building, get your name in the raffle box. If you don't already have it in there, get your name in a raffle box and let's make this happen. See if you're living right. If you're living right, you might win something today. If not, we're just going to drink and have a damn good time. All right, we got some good news, man. Now, this is unofficial. It's unofficial, but we got some good news from some of the reports from practice today is that, well, let's start with yesterday's good news. Damian Pierce was back at practice yesterday in the running back position.
Yeah, this is a double barrel good news right here.
Today, yes! Joe Mixon was back at practice, so it appears, now unofficially, it appears that the running back room is whole this week and that you're going to see the best that the Texans have at that position to try to get this run game rolling. It's going to be the best that this position has looked since the first half of the Bears game week two.
Yeah.
So it's big news. Also, we're going to talk running backs, but I think one thing of note is unofficially Laremy Tunsil, Kenyon Green, and Titus Howard, all three are back at practice today as well. Thursday is a heavy, heavy day. It is a fine-tuned day as well because you've got really 3 days of prep that are kind of coming to a head here, and so it's a big day. But first, let's hear from Joe Mixon. It's been a minute. It's been a minute since we've seen or heard from Joe Mixon, and I think you're gonna like Houston. You're gonna like this audio. Go ahead, B. Scott.
No, I was just gonna say, man, Joe Mixon and the presence and the attitude is exactly what you want from your running back. I would just point that out before you throw to this audio.
Yeah, 100%. there's no doubt about it. Here's Joe Mixon on just simply wanting to be back on the field with his fellas.
How tough was it the past couple of weeks sitting out and not being able to play?
What you think?
I'm going to hear PR second, though.
I was number one in the league in rushing. I want to be out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, other than obviously I was stopped because of that weak-ass hip drop tackle. You know what I'm saying? So I can't do nothing about that. I want to be out there more than anybody. You know what I'm saying? So obviously it's frustrating, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. I'm going to just keep on working. And when it's time to, you know, be out there, I'm going to do what I got to do to show them the best on the field. Simple as that.
Yeah, look, whether we're talking Joe Mixon or Stephon Diggs, man, their approach to practice is just beautiful. Their mentality towards playing the game of football is absolutely beautiful. And you're right. I don't know where we take the comment or the statement, but
that we got hip drop tackle.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I would love for my offensive linemen in Houston Texans uniform to have a Joe Mixon mentality. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I would love to have that.
That is what I want to request or implore right now. I feel like Clint would feel a lot better about the offensive line if they played like or carried themselves more like Joe Mixon. I mean, yeah. Joe Mixon is out there just like. Clearly got the dog in him, got a presence about him, out there running the ball with no gloves on, like wants to be out there saying, man, the only reason why I'm not out there is because of a hit that is now that they've
that we
made.
Guys hit drop tackle.
Illegal in the game now. Yep. Like he is clearly a dude that wants to be out there. Got out there for a Friday practice, probably knowing full and well that he wasn't ready to go because ended up not being ready to go that following Sunday. Like, if the offensive line could comport itself more like Joe Mixon does, I think you would like the offensive line a lot better. I think we would see a much grimier run game.
Yeah, look, I mean, effort and attitude is and physicality. I mean, I think that would improve the product tremendously. But even if it didn't, I can at least respect that approach. You know.
Yeah.
I think that would be big. You know, the guys are back, and I think staying on that particular thought of the mentality of the offensive line. I think it's a little bit of a hidden impact that a guy like Joe Mix can have. Clearly, he's going to give you a better chance to get the run game going. Clearly, he can help you more than any other running back that you have in the pass game. Clearly, he's going to be able to pass protect better than others, and the ceiling is extremely higher. But one of the hidden impacts could very well be that, look, you go a game, you go a couple of games with some bull jive up front, at some point, that guy you just heard from is going to say, hey, man, y'all got to get this right.
Yeah,
what the hell is going on up here?
For sure. For sure. And that's aside from the fact that, again, speaking to his talent and what he brings to you just like as a player, the fact that game, that week one game
yes.
where he goes for 158 yards yes. and we were praising the Texans offensive line, and it was just like this glorious week because the Texans offensive Ooh. Line established itself, established the run. And I was with you, Clint, but let's not forget that 101 of 158 of those yards was Joe Mixon after contact.
Yeah.
Like, it was a lot of Joe Mixon being excellent. Mm-hmm. You know, and the offensive line did its thing, but a lot of what we saw was just a different type of guy at running back. And everything that we've seen since then, I understand that Joe Mixon was hurt not long after that, but everything that we've seen since then has been inconsistent at best. It's had its moments. I think, like we said earlier, it had its moments Sunday against the Bills, but it needs to be a lot better. And having Joe Mixon back finally, I think, is going to help that.
Well, here's the beautiful thing. We talked a little bit earlier about C.J. Stroud and how C.J. Stroud actually, if he tweaked his play a little bit, it would actually make up for the offensive line would appear to be better if you did that. There's no doubt about it. If the 22, 21 touches that went to Dari Agumbawale last week, if those 21 touches go to Joe Mixon this week, then Bobby Slowick is going to look better. The offensive line is going to look better. And I don't know what better is, but it will definitely look better if Joe Mixon is able to stay healthy and carry the rock for this football team.
I think about something as simple as just ball control, possessing the football, Clint. Like, if you're living in a space where it's not just C.J. Stroud's got to save you. Right, like you're struggling on early downs, and C.J. Stroud's got to make something happen on third down, and now all of a sudden the fantasy football fans are getting their wish, and C.J. Stroud's throwing it 70-80% of the time,
yeah.
And like you're living in that space, kind of to your point, Clint, that you were making earlier. Like I agree with the whole thought process, but like having a running back like Joe Mixon helps that, especially at a time where now you're about to be playing better teams with better quarterbacks, where yeah. you are going to want to possess the ball more often than not.
Well, I mean, not to get too far off in the weeds because it's hard on the radio to talk about a lot of this stuff. But I mean, if I just want a complimentary, piece to the pass game, right? I just want to be able to stay out of third and 12. How about third and five or six? I'll take that, right?
Yeah.
I'll take that. You know, Now, if it ever turns the corner to where you've got a 4-minute offense, now you can just milk the clock late in the ball game with a lead, and you end up having your quarterback take a knee in the old victory formation, best formation in football. If you can do that, now we're back to, this is a Super Bowl caliber offense.
Yeah.
Like right now, it's hard for me to sell this offense right now as these boys are going to make a run to a Super Bowl. I think the overall team is in that conversation now, but what we've seen offensively, whether it's just the inconsistencies or the injuries or, you know, the pass protection issues, the run game issues, it's hard to think that you got the ability to go in and run through three or four playoff caliber defenses with this particular offense on the field. And we'll see if Joe Mixon can turn around, because the one thing about this weekend, and we're going to get into this too, the New England Patriots are, I think they're a top 10 defense.
Yeah, no, they're a pretty good defense.
I mean, they're top third of the league on defense, and they've been really good, both schematically and personnel-wise. They're pretty damn good. So it's going to be a hell of a matchup for this offense. The other star that's aligning there, obviously he was the headliner for me today with Damian Pierce, but all of a sudden Joe Mixon showed up and decided he was going to do a little song and dance, and all of a sudden he's a headliner. But Damian Pierce may be, B. Scott, this is a little bit of a stretch, I'll admit it, Damian Pierce may be just what the doctor ordered for this football team, though.
And
I assumed he was going to be the starting running back, but now that Joe Mixon's back, it changes it a bit. But you're talking about a guy, I just firmly believe, after watching this football team for 4 or 5 weeks, I just firmly believe the best chance for them to run the football is downhill. Forget that outside zone that was so good against Indianapolis. Like, I may be wrong, and Joe Mixon may be the guy that makes that happen. But as I watch this offensive line and I watch these tight ends,
yep,
week in, week out, I don't think you're consistently going to run the football in that outside zone. I'm talking about the toss zone, the get to the sideline, get outside the numbers and cut. Like, I just don't think that's going to be this team's bread and butter.
Hell, your tight ends are even better lined up at fullback at times. So, like, when you're trying to just run it, but like you said, run it in between the tackles. They're often better in those, because, obviously you've lost British Brooks, your fullbacks. Yeah. Like, they're almost better in those situations. They're not great.
Well, Cade Stover better be your tight end fullback this week, or I'm going to blow a gasket. I'm just telling you, man. There's no way Bobby Sloan.
They brought back Teagan Quatoriano.
Well, Teagan's ass, his big tall ass, a big long drink of water. He ain't getting no damn 3-point stance at fullback. He needs to have his hand in the dirt in the line of scrimmage. But I'm going to tell you, Cade Stover better be the one in the fullback position. If they indeed stick with that, Cade Stover better be there. There's no way that D'Amico Ryans – see, you got me on this again. I don't want to pile on, man.
Hey, look.
I don't want to pile on.
I think the people of New Caney came here to get the raw emotions of Clint Sterner. It's okay to color outside the lines and get the people want, Clint. I mean, this is really agitating you, man. I wasn't trying to do this now, just to be clear. But I see it's agitating.
There's nothing worse in the world of watching, covering, breaking down football than softness.
I understand.
And pouting. Like, there's nothing, whatever it was, there's nothing worse. And there's no way that Bobby and D'Amico watch that same film I watch and they go, yep, we're going to put Dalton Schultz's ass back in that fullback position and we're going to roll. Honest to God, it was so bad that I am going to blow a gasket one, and I'm going to question whether Bobby Slowick ever gets a run game going here if we see that again this week.
You shouldn't need that with Joe Mixon back there. Again, the film shows you that's not a good idea.
Oh, man.
That's probably not a good idea. But and this is maybe a sad point that I'm making, but they are better at that than even trying to do the outside. They're worse at the outside zone stuff. Worse, honestly.
Yeah, like, big picture, schematically, yes, I agree with that. But I don't care where you run the football, left, right, inside, out. If Dalton Schultz is going to give that effort, you are not going to run the football well. Period. I don't care who's back there. It's just not going to happen. Maybe he just had a bad day. It was the worst I've seen in a long, long time as it pertains to a level of softness.
And he is also one of the more vocal people on the offense.
Yeah, you better.
I could just imagine what the film session must look like.
He look.
You kind of have to turn the tables there a little bit.
We need to turn the mouthpiece off. You ain't got no. You can't talk. That performance last week, you can't do no talking. All you can do is show up and bust your ass and hope you get back in the good graces of the folks around you. That's it. That's all you can do. But where I was going with that was, Damian Pierce is also healthy.
Yes.
And I think Damian Pierce and his downhill run style, coupled with the fact that if you look at the 5-game sample size, I think that this team, I'm not 100% sure, but I think that this team is going to have more success hitting it downhill right now. And that can be inside zone, right? That can be the little split zone. I think be all these different – you don't have to necessarily be a G-scheme, pin and pull, all this kind of job, have a guard leading up in the hole or a tight end leading up in the hole. I like them, yeah. But you don't necessarily have to. You can still run your zone concepts, but get downhill and get downhill right now as it pertains to the run game. I know Joe Mixon can do it all. Just right, call plays, right. Whatever the hell you want to do. But Damian Pierce is going to be the spell guy. And if he continues to spell Joe Mixon, and when he gets in there, he's hitting that sucker downhill, and these coaches are watching it, at some point they're going to go, hey, we got to do more of that.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, I'm not saying Damian Pierce, but scheme-wise, we got to do more of that and less of this long, drawn-out stuff to the sidelines. You look at Kenyon Green, you look at Shaq Mason, you look at Juice Scruggs, those are the three guys that if they get their hands on somebody, they are movers of men. They can move the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And if you get them stretching out and dancing to the sideline, it's hard on them boys. I just don't think they're wired for it.
Yeah, and so I like that you're pointing out with Damian Pierce, the difference is, hey, this speaks to something specifically that you do well, right? Joe Mixon allows you a certain level of flexibility where there really is no bad alignment or type of play just specific to the running back position,
yeah,
because the running back can do whatever is asked of him in that situation,
right,
if Joe Mixon is on the field. But Damian Pierce, when he's in the game, and you can tell me if you think it's a tell more than anything, but when Damian Pierce is in the game, there is a clear intention, right? Like, we are about to hit you in the mouth right here, right now, offensive line, and then Damian Pierce with his run style and just sort of the way he's oriented as a runner, like to, yes, just go straight downhill. Like, this is our intention when we show you this.
I think when you call inside runs, I think when Damian Pierce is in the game, I do believe that that's something as an offensive lineman, you better buckle up. Let's get down. We got to go.
Yeah.
It's time to knuckle up and let's ride. I mean, I do believe that's a different mentality. And I just think that these guys, especially the ones in the middle, are built for it. It's just a different animal. So we'll see how that plays out over the next handful of games. We'll see how Joe Mixon affects the ability or inability to run the outside zone. And I mean, again, the toss, the wide zone. We'll see exactly how all that stuff unfolds as the season goes on. But the running back conversation is a really good conversation, and having all of the running backs back in the game is absolutely beautiful. All right, B. Scott, he's sitting here with me. Ron Ugly is out. Tyler Milner's behind the glass. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. B. Scott's got a little something that the Texans just simply cannot allow to happen this week. Does it have anything to do with Drake May? I don't think so. We'll let you know.
He can be a part of it. He can be a part of it.
We'll let you know next right here on Sports Radio 610.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Ron Hughley is out. Brandon Scott is in. And we're rocking and rolling up in New Caney, Buffalo Wild Wings, 59-99, man. If you're near here, come on through. Hell, if you got a little bit of a drive, come on through. We're going to be here for a minute. Good little environment going on. And we
get
got plenty
a chance
of seats.
Party.
Yeah, that's what Dusty said. I'm with you, Bubba. We got a game tonight. We got a couple of games tonight. And but we got baseball tonight as well, don't we?
We got a little bit of
everything going on. So plenty of reason to slide through Buffalo Wild Wings. If you can get to this location, we'd love to see you. If you can't get to this location, find your local Buffalo Wild Wings, slide on in there, and get you one of them cold drinks and watch some sports. I'm hammering this old Caesar salad right now.
Man, hey, I saw you, and you saw I went and got me one, too, in the break.
I was like, man,
you ain't going to be the only one.
I've always been a sucker for a salad, man. A good, like just good. I love that. The way they do their salads, or at least the two that I've had here, you know, the size of your lettuce can really screw up a salad.
Yeah, I've always said that.
Yeah, if it's too gawky or like in the way, kind of like.
I mean, it's just got to be like.
Size does matter.
I'm a big chopped salad guy, yeah.
This guy.
Yeah, Tyler, size does matter. And I mean.
But in the reverse with lettuce, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather my lettuce be a little smaller.
Yeah.
I mean, Tyler, what were you referring to?
Oh, I was talking salad. Don't be perverted, B. Scott. Come on, man.
I picked up what you were dropping down there.
Well, I need that iceberg lettuce, lettuce in my life.
Whatever size lettuce you got, man, just make it work.
About the size of the lettuce all the time, though. It's really about how you go about eating it. You know?
Hey, look, whatever. Hey, good gosh. He just went way off the ditch.
Yeah. That sounds like a guy that's negotiated a time or two.
Hey, no doubt.
Ocean
Oh, wow. Boy, I tell you what. Anyway, by the way, I said Brandon Scott is in for Ron Ugly. You know, Ron's usually the worry wart here on the show. He likes to worry about things.
Is that my boy Ron?
Yeah, that's Ron. That's what I'm talking about. He likes to worry, and I'll be damned if B. Scott didn't bring a little worry to the table here, man. This is an interesting game with the Texans.
Yes.
Right? I mean, this is a game where I think on paper, hell, on film, any way you look at it, this is a game where the Texans should go and handle their business.
They should beat them by at least 10 points, I think. I think. I don't know what the spread is, but they are good enough and the Patriots are bad enough to where the Texans should win this game by a minimum of 10 points.
I think that's very fair. I think Ron said 15. You said 10. Look, Tyler, do you know what the line's at? What's the line at right now?
I know it opened up at 7. Let me check.
I was going to say 7 or 8. I think this is every bit of a touchdown, a touchdown to a 9-point line.
6.5 now.
Down to 6.5. Wow, that surprises me. That actually scares me a bit. Vegas typically is smarter than
being on the road, losing Nico Collins, and then and we'll get into some of this. The X factor of Drake May. You're not really knowing what you're going to get. Like, he could be good. What if he's good? So like that could change things a lot.
Well, I think there's with this ball game, as I said, the Texans should handle their business and come on home, get on a victorious plane ride back to Houston. But there are a couple of things on each side of the football that could cause some serious problems for anybody, not just the Texans. And I know you're concerned about one thing in particular, and that is the New England Patriots' willingness to commit to the run offensively and the product that they put on the field this year. The New England Patriots are 8th in the league in yards per game. And if you look at the company that they're keeping in terms of rushing the football, they're right there with the Detroit Lions, the San Francisco 49ers, the L.A. Chargers, the New Orleans Saints. They're right there sandwiched in between those five teams. This is a football team that can run it well, and they've got a couple of really, really, really good complementary backs. Stevenson, Ramondre Stevenson, who we've seen quite a bit. Yeah, Stevenson and Gibson, those two guys are lightning and thunder kind of action, and both of them can do work. And so I know you're a little bit concerned about how the Texans deal with this particular run game.
To me, this is the only thing that they do well on offense right now. And we understand we have not seen Drake May in the NFL yet. He could be awesome. Like, his first game, he could be incredible. We don't know. It's a wild card factor. But
he
honestly,
can't play Clint, dead in a horror movie.
If it turns out that Drake May just is much better than anybody realized he was and he lights him on fire, I think I can live with the unknown of that aspect of it. But you know what they do well, and you know what they want to do with a rookie quarterback playing his first game, how they want to establish their identity in this game, and it's going to be through the run. And my concern, I would say this, my concern, Clint, is how I've watched this Texans defense defend a run recently. It started off pretty good, but as of late, and I honestly feel this way, the Buffalo Bills bailed them out at times. Like, once the Texans went up 14-3, once you got that long pass to Nico Collins and it's a double-digit game, they went away from the run game that honestly was working up until that point. And even in the rare times that they went back to it, like in the second half when they started to go back to it at times and they started to play catch-up a little bit, like, they went away from that, I think, early and bailed the Texans out. And then they went away from it again late on that final drive, on a final drive, when they're just supposed to be playing for possession, and they try to throw three bombs in 16 seconds and get the Texans the ball back. Like, to me, the Texans showed a hole and some weakness there in defending the run, and that's the only redeeming quality of this Patriots offense. I am concerned about that particular matchup. Like, if there's going to be a way that you could predict exactly how the Texans could lose, it would be that. It would be having the ball just run down their throat.
That is an interesting – I think matchups are we don't talk about them enough. Because I think you can have a 1-4 team and a 4-1 team match up, and if it's just like four I think the worst one I've ever seen was Miami going to Kansas City when there were people in the stands in Kansas City with frostbit legs and stuff. Yep. Right? Like, it did. I mean, it was just a bad matchup. And this was obviously had the weather had to do with it, but it was just a bad matchup to where Miami didn't have a chance, right? And then you go to a game where and you go, okay, you know, this team may be able to again muddle their way through a season and have a winning record and get into the playoffs. But boy, there's a glaring weakness in this opponent right here. That's their biggest strength, right?
Right.
I think when you look at the Texans, I think the one thing, and forget about the New England Patriots for a second, just the one thing that I think I'm still concerned about is the ability to stop the run. And now you're going to face a team that they've got every reason under the sun, even if they're not running it well in the first quarter, to run it in the second quarter.
Right.
To run it in the third quarter. Like, they're going to do everything they can to protect the rookie quarterback. Like, they did everything they could with bringing Jacoby Brissett in and letting Jacoby Brissett start. They did everything they could there to protect the quarterback. Now they're in a spot where they're like, you've got to do right by the rest of the roster and put the kid on the field because he's a better option than Jacoby Brissett at this time, and there's no hiding it, right?
Yeah. And also, it's almost like I want to force you to beat me with the rookie quarterback. Like, the rookie quarterback is going to have to ball out for y'all to win this game. It's not going to be like, we're going to bow up. We're going to stand up against a run, and if y'all are going to have some success today, it's going to be because this rookie quarterback in his first NFL game ever is going to ball out of his mind. It's not going to be because you're just going to line up and run it down my throat. The way that Buffalo seemed like they were able to do at times, and honestly the way I felt like teams have over the last few weeks, like I feel like this has been a slight trend for the Texans over the last few weeks that I want to see them nip in the bud. That would be the most demoralizing way to lose is if you lost it up front in that particular way.
That's right. That's Brandon Scotty's in for Ryan Ugly. I'm Clint Sterner. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. Stay plugged in, baby. Stay plugged in. These Texans are rocking and rolling, and we got the reports off the field. We got all kind of good stuff going on today. We're giving away all kind of stuff. Come on through Buffalo Wild Wings up in New Caney. We got some giveaways left, including a pair of tickets. As well as another gift card and some U of H tickets. And I think there's a lawn chair package, something going on down there too. So we've got all kind of stuff to give away. And we need you in the building. So come on through. All right, there are a lot of turds in the sports world now. If you eat, I apologize. But there's a lot of turds in the sports world week in, week out. And who gets Tyler Milner's gold medal? Who gets it for you? 713-572-4610. Text in your turds. Tyler loves reading those and seeing how they match up to his turds. I don't know why Tyler likes to compare turds, but he does.
It's always been a hobby. I don't know.
Yeah, man. Who gets the gold medal for you, man? Tyler gives us his top turds next right here.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On a drive.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, Ron Hughley is out. Brandon Scott is in. And I tell you what, turds, y'all, turds, we all make them. But it takes a special kind of person to be one. I tell you what, man. Every week, Tyler's turds at 3:41 on Thursday. It's the way to go. And Tyler's.
We all make them, but it takes a special kind of person to be one.
Yeah, that's right.
That was poetic. I like that.
Hey, Tyler's turds of the week. Here we go, Tyler. Take the wheel, baby.
Pro athletes are sometimes a lot to handle.
We're just not good enough.
Maybe even a bit dramatic.
Altuve stole an MVP from Judge.
Turdish behavior will not be ignored. No one is safe.
I'm not going to let it take my joy.
It's Tyler's Turds of the Week on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, boys. You're listening to The Drive. This is, of course, Thursday, Thirsty Thursday, right around 3:40 p.m. I give you a full podium every damn week of these turds around the professional sports world, people, because it's my job. It's my responsibility. I've taken it upon myself as a good Samaritan, as a tremendous sports fan in the great city of Houston. I've taken it on myself each and every week to search out the turdish behavior that needs to be called out. And we got another full podium this week, boys. Ready to go?
Let's do it.
Absolutely.
All righty. Bronze medal on the turds of the week. It's one of our own, boys.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
It's one of our own. This doesn't happen super often.
Not a civil war. Not a civil war.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there are times. There are times, you know. And this time, it's a member of our late night program. And if you don't know about it, it's Area 45. Local late sports talk. Your only source for that in H-Town is with Patrick Creighton, Sean Bajani, and Chris Santiago every single night, 8 p.m. to midnight. But it's old PC, my co-host from the Big Orange Wagon. He's getting the bronze medal on the turd list this week. And before I get a little more serious with this silver and gold medal, boys, let me just peel that carpet back, as we're on the show, Hughley would say real quick. This bronze medal this week, I got this simply because I had to share this audio with y'all. I had to share it with you, Clint, B. Scott. I had to share it with our listeners, the Dry family. Because in my experience, and I'm a humorous individual, I like to think, there aren't many things in the comedic world or attempted comedic world that are more cringy than when a fella or a lady might just butcher an impression. Like someone's like, I have this great Christopher Walken, and they sound like nothing like him. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Bad impressions to me are super cringy.
Yeah.
I'm listening to Area 45 last night. Our guy Patrick Creighton, what they were talking about, it really doesn't even matter. But my guy Patrick Creighton, PC, the guy who refers to the co-host B. Scott's filling in for, is Ron Hooley.
Ron Hooley.
Oh, it's so bad.
I love PC, but this was, in my opinion, one of the worst impressions I may have ever heard. I was laughing my ass off, but it was awful. I even texted him about it. But I want y'all to listen for yourselves. Tell me if I'm being too hard on PC here, because I think this impression attempt by Creighton of doing a voice of Beavis from Beavis and Butthead, I think it's awful. I'll explain more in a sec. It's pretty funny. But tell me if this is really deserving of a bronze turd medal on a Thirsty Thursday, or if the impression wasn't as bad as I think. Here was PC last night live on Area 45.
I think I need to stop by Tom Anderson's bullshit. Hey, about it.
Now he knows what not to do.
Yeah.
Go ahead and get you a pro, big dog.
Does he? Sounds like he's got a problem.
Probably does.
Yeah. It's cool he doesn't have anyone, therefore he's doing it himself.
I think I need to stop by Tom Anderson's bullshit. Hey, about it.
It's comically bad. I don't think it's bad enough to be a turd. It is bad though.
Dude.
He at least got the little the snickle in there. You know where that little part in there. Like he got that part in there. I didn't think it was the worst I've ever heard, but it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad.
I tell you, I think the video would probably send it over the top.
Oh man, I'm gonna get that tonight. That.
Yeah, but pull up that YouTube feed to see Patrick Creighton impersonating, doing a Beavis and Butthead impersonation.
Yeah. And I love, like I've said, man, I love Patrick. That was hilarious. I think it's one of the worst impressions I've ever heard, though. And what I told Patrick verbatim last night when I texted in, I was driving home and I heard that and I'm laughing. I'm like, man, that was off. We butchered that. I texted Patrick. I said, dude, you sounded like, and there's no intention of offense here, but you know those commercials with the smokers who have to like hold the thing up to their throat?
No. See, Tyler, you always take it too far.
This is what I was going to say, though. I think what PC is dealing with, and I'm similar in this way, is where you can try to do an impression, but you can't ditch your accent. Like, Clint, I can't imagine you trying to do impressions. Like, if your accent is so strong that even when you try to do an impression that doesn't include your accent, you can't ditch it, that's what it's going to sound like. That sounded like Patrick Creighton trying to do a Beavis and Butthead impression.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's impressionists that get paid a lot of money.
You know what I'm saying? The ones that aren't good at it.
Yeah, they can, that's what I'm saying. Right, like, yeah. So if you can't at the very least shake your accent, then you ain't got no business in the game.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, team. Anyway, what's yeah,
that's the Broads. PC, love you, man. But don't sound like one of these people with the thing up by their throat in the commercial room. Stop smoking. You can try next on PC. Broads medal to Area 45's Patrick Creighton. Real quick, silver medal. Oh, boy. Silver medal this week. I'm not sure if this fella was one of the original contributors to the birth of this idea for Turds of the Week. He very well could have been, because I can't stand him. He's ugly as hell. The guy with a face only a mother could love. He wears pinstripes. Talking about the ogre, Shrek, a.k.a. known as Aaron Judge, the media darling. I don't know if y'all have seen this stat, B. Scott and Clint, this week. And for those that don't know, there is October baseball going on right now. We're normally right in the middle of it here in Houston, so it feels a little odd.
Yeah, I'm still not over it yet. I really don't want to talk about it.
Me either.
Very tough.
This might help you, though, Clint. It helps me. It gives me a little peace of mind. But Astros obviously not playing. There are some playoff baseball games going on. The Yankees currently lead, we're on the show, Hughley's Royals, 2-1. Aaron Judge, I saw a stat on this ugly mofo this week that was truly eyebrow-raising. Aaron Judge in October baseball and playoff baseball, postseason baseball, he has a higher strikeout rate than, I'll give you a hint, he has a higher strikeout rate than a guy we know very well.
Let's go, Rockets.
That Maldi. Is Martin Maldonado, Houston's own, the World Series champion. Aaron Judge has a higher strikeout rate than Maldonado, boys.
It is wild that he could be that great of a player and that lousy in the postseason. And especially with the Yankees and sort of how they've had this issue over the last, you know, couple of decades of trying to get back there. And especially since the Astros have risen to prominence, we've been in their way. But, man, the fact that Aaron Judge has not been able to contribute at all, really – damn. And then the
you'll
Mets.
Love to see it.
On the other side, the Mets are out there balling. Yeah. Is Francisco Lindor king of New York baseball right now?
I didn't even think of that.
Come on, Aaron Judge. We got to see more, dog. You're supposed to be that guy.
How do you find that, Tyler? I mean, that is a great find, by the way.
I mean,
anything Aaron Judge does that's subpar, even though this is extremely subpar,
yeah.
Tyler's going to find it.
Oh, yeah. For that ogre, anything. I actually just remembered. I actually heard that stat, again, on Area 45. Sean Bajani actually brought that up on a show the other night. But yeah, Aaron Judge...
They got baseball folks and a New Yorker on that show, man. You know that was going to come up. And the people in New York are concerned about this. Like, imagine if this was Yordan Alvarez.
Oh, wow.
Or the way we've been talking about Kyle Tucker over the last couple of years. Like, that's what you're dealing with Aaron Judge if you're in New York. It's pretty lousy.
Yeah, so sorry once again to those bitches up in the Bronx. You landed on the podium once again here on Tyler's Turds of the Week.
I got a message for those Yankee turds.
But I will definitely keep calling it out for Aaron Judge in particular, especially while the media just wants to love on this guy any damn chance they get. Stop striking out so much, you loser.
Tyler just woke up the building.
What up, H-Town? I mean,
you dropping them words. Everybody looking like, whoa.
The good folks in New Caney were like, what?
No one should give an F about Aaron Judge.
I couldn't agree more, Ron. All right, that's your silver medal. Real quick, we got a gold trophy here. You're watching on YouTube or Twitch. Search Sports Radio 610. I got this badass golden trophy. It looks like a turd, a golden turd. Give it out every week.
It is. That's got to be the best trophy in town.
Oh, it's so good. I'm going to start putting like their faces on it each week, too. I think that'd be a good idea. The golden turd of the week from the sports world. It's, again, a familiar face. This guy used to be a coach, a manager in the great city of Houston. I'm talking about current Detroit Tigers manager, the man who knocked our Astros out of October ball not too long ago. I'm talking about A.J. Hinch.
Oh.
A.J. Hinch is getting the golden turd on this Thirsty Thursday, and I'll tell you why. First of all, I'm going to preface this before some of you trolls and lunatics who are just angry at your life start texting me about how you're pissed off that he's on the list. Oh, I love A.J. I want A.J. back. A.J. Hinch is the greatest. He should have never been back. Just shut the hell up. Just listen.
Still should have pitched Gerrit Cole, but that's a story for another day.
I think he's going to get there.
A.J. Hinch, current manager of the Tigers. Like I said, Tigers took the Astros out in that wild card round not too long ago. I got problems with Hinch, man. I seriously got problems in my sports fanatic brain when it comes to this guy. Because you break my heart, AJ. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what you did during your time here. Some of what you did during your time here. Mainly being the 2017 World Series for the Houston Astros, the first title for the Stros in Houston. I'm very thankful. I will never forget that. And I don't have time to go into this because I can go on a rant, y'all know. I can't get into 2017 and the cheating scandal because I'll blow a gasket and have to go off on some morons. But AJ Hinch, you contributed to the smear campaign on the Astros before you got fired. That's where my heart starts breaking. You're the manager and you didn't manage. You didn't manage them. It's literally in your title. You're not even a coach. You're supposed to manage these fools. And you knew they were cheating.
Somebody check out Tyler.
And you just didn't say nothing. Say it with your chest, AJ. Be a man. You can't tell me you didn't want to be doing that. You knew it was wrong. But I encouraged him. I hit the TV with a bat. Whatever the hell. AJ, be better. AJ Hinch, Detroit Tigers manager. Tigers, by the way, up 2-1 in the ALDS on the Guardians. And also, I feel like I got to remind Houston of this from time to time when it comes to Hinch, because it pisses me off every time I think about it. He won us a World Series in 2017. He contributed to that. And like I said, always thankful. But AJ Hinch is always going to be, in my mind, one of, if not the largest primary reason the Astros did not win another World Series in 2019. Because if you remember, AJ Hinch decided at the worst possible moment to take one Zach Greinke out of the Game 7 of that year's World Series after Rendon hit a homer off Zach, only to then watch very, very promptly Will Harris's goofy ass take the mound and lose the World Series for the Houston Astros. And that's on your shoulders, sir, AJ Hinch. So, AJ, love what you did when you were here, but damn it, you break my heart. You freaking eliminated my Stros for the first time in 8 years from getting to another ALCS. And we should have more rings, but say it with your chest, AJ. That's the Turds of the Week, boys.
There you have it, Tyler's Turds of the Week. Well done. Once again, always, always a beautiful segment.
We'll put his heart into it, man.
Ain't no doubt about it, man. Pressure does one of two things, y'all. It busts pipes or it makes diamonds, man. The Texans have been great in two pressure areas. I got the stats to prove it. We'll discuss the significance next right here on Sports Radio 16.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.